Before we start the podcast, we'd like to thank Mouska Trips for sponsoring the Disney Resorts Kingdom podcast. Mouska Trips is dedicated to giving you a Disney experience before you even arrive at the parks. They try to get you the best price they can, and they want you to have the best Disney vacation possible. So please visit our sponsor, Mouska Trips, at www.mouskatrips.com. That's www.mouskatrips.com.
Hello and welcome to this weird edition of the Everything Disney Resorts podcast. I'm your host, Luke Manning. Now, as you know, we've had a sort of weird week. Only one real episode, and that had to be reposted anyway, and then a smaller episode, and they were released on Wednesday and Thursday. So I'm going to try and make up for it in this episode. Now, originally, I was just going to release the It's a Small World Holiday episode that I had recorded with Nick, but then last night, which would have been Friday night, I recorded a little show about MouseFest 2007 with John Crigliano of the Mouse Times podcast. So I think I'll make this episode a sort of double feature with It's a Small World Holiday and MouseFest 2007. Don't worry though, because on Monday we'll be back to our regular operations, bringing you 3 episodes a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we'll be kicking it into holiday high gear. So, when you say we get on with the show, start off with Small World Holiday, and then move on to MouseFest 2007. Hello and welcome to the Everything Disney Resorts podcast. I am your host, Luke Manning, and as always, I'm joined with my wonderful co-host, Nick McLam.
Yay!
How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing fine, Luke. How about you?
Ditto. Well, today on the show, we're going to be talking a little bit about It's a Small World Holiday at Disneyland. So we're going to take a break from the Disney World Christmas festivities. Now, in Florida, you do have the clock ceremony in the inside facade, right?
I have no idea.
You know the thing where every 15 minutes, the clock thing does a show, and then and it tells the time, basically.
Yeah.
You have that in Florida.
At Small World?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know.
And that's a sad thing to have missed out on, because that's a great addition to Disneyland's and Disneyland Paris's and I think Tokyo's as well. It basically, it's a show where every 15 minutes, there's a little few dolls that come out of the clock facade, and it tells the time every 15 minutes, so it lets you know. I mean, it's a nice little addition, and all the day there is a different version of it with Christmas music. Wow, you're interested, I see.
Yeah.
Now, it at night time, it is lit up amazingly, and I'm pretty sure I've shown you some pictures of it, and it's just amazingly beautiful at night.
Yeah.
Almost as nice as the castles, actually, maybe even nicer. And also,
yeah, I saw it last night.
Yeah,
on that TV show, it looked really cool.
And you must have also noticed the light show that they project onto it every 15 minutes or so at night time.
Yes, that's very cool.
I haven't seen that yet, but I will be sure to see it when I go, not this Friday, but the Friday after. Now, as you go in, the first room is decked out all Christmassy, and you hear jingle bells and stuff like that. And basically, you just go through all of the rooms, and there are a bunch of Christmas and festive decorations, could be Jewish, Christmas, whatever, throughout all of those rooms, and it just looks all Christmassy. And in the first little room, which is the Swedish room, whatever it is, there is actually a Santa Claus there. And he basically is saying stuff.
Yeah. That's what Santa does.
Yeah.
So, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Ho, 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 ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Now, you go through the rooms, and there's two really impressive rooms, and one of them is the Mexican-Hispanic room, which has a giant thing that I'm not even sure what it is, that goes above the track, and it says Feliz Navidad, and it's like, you know, the lights of winter.
Feliz Navidad, yeah.
That cart, the little thing that you walk under to get from Future World to World Showcase.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it's like, except it's all flowered out and stuff.
Feliz Navidad, do-do-do-do-do,
Feliz Navidad, do-do-do-do-do, Feliz Navidad.
I don't like that song, I like Dominic the Donkey.
Never even heard of that.
That song is hilarious. I gotta send it to you. It's the best. It's my favorite. Hee-haw, hee-haw, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingle-dee-ding. Hee-haw, hee-haw, the Italian Christmas donkey. La-la-la-la.
All right, that's enough of you.
La-la-la-la.
That's enough of you. Now, before you get to the big finale room, there is a room that's actually been covered in black curtains, and it's actually been walled off. Maybe it's because they don't do Christmas in the jungle. I don't know. And it's just got a bunch of lights that are hung above you, and it's sort of like Spaceship Earth on the side, you know? Nothing.
It is not that bad, Luke.
And then, before you enter the finale room, the ride is a mixture between the original Small World song and Jingle Bells. And then as you get into the finale room, it's all decked out Christmassy. Looks absolutely beautiful. But the music in that room is my absolute favourite. It's Small World mixed in with Deck the Halls. And it just sounds awesome.
Do you have that audio, Luke?
If I do, I will play it in the background. I know I have it on CD. I'm just not sure if I've put it on my computer. So, Small World Holiday is amazing. I think it is... really improves on Small World itself. It has everything that's classic about the original ride, but just improves upon it. And it's sad that it's only there for a couple of months in the year, and it's also sad that Florida doesn't bother to do it.
Well, Small World and Disneyland is a lot better than Florida.
And also, Disneyland Paris's is a lot better than Florida's. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on It's a Small World Holiday. Since 1997, Disneyland has featured It's a Small World Holiday during the Christmas and winter seasons. The attraction is usually closed for 2 weeks in October to receive temporary holiday decorations inside and outside, only to reopen in early November before the start of the busy holiday tourist season. The overlay has proved very popular, and at one point during its run, needed the use of Fastpass machines, which have since been uninstalled. And it was actually the last time I went to Disneyland, and I know you're not familiar with the area, but it was queuing in front of Small World, crossed over the pathway, and into a little area, and zigzagged back and forth for ages. It must have been at least an hour-long wait.
Really?
But it sometimes it is worth it.
Bad.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sure it is.
The attraction is the same boat voyage through many regions of the world featuring choruses of children singing. During the ride, the main theme song is not fully played, but instead the children of the world sing that song along with Jingle Bells and a bridge of Deck the Halls added to the main theme. The holiday overlay has also been implemented at Tokyo Disneyland. During the 2005 to 2006 holiday season, in order to remove some of the massive crowds from the main plaza during the popular Remember Dreams Come True fireworks spectacular, a second viewing station was installed at It's a Small World Mall. During...
It's a Small World what?
It's a Small World Mall.
What is that?
That's the area, the big wide open area, which is the path from the main part of Fantasyland up to Small World, into Toontown.
Is there a store?
No. All of it's outside.
I was about to say.
That's just the
name. It'd be cool if I had a Small World shirt.
At the same time, the outdoor facade incorporated a sophisticated, elaborate multimedia presentation projected on the colored palettes of the outer facade each quarter hour after dusk, which I will definitely be sure to see. And really, that's about it that I can say on It's a Small World Holiday. And you know, when Tom and John and everyone else ain't here, we don't get that good discussions going, do we? Well, we get good discussions going, but they don't seem to last long.
Yeah, we need Tom and John in here.
Tom, John, help us, help us.
My show has some pretty good discussions, because everybody there.
Yeah, same with, WDW News Today podcast.
He has some pretty good ones.
I'll tell him you said that. Well, that's about it for this week's show. Nick, you have a special announcement to make, don't you?
Oh yeah, I have a new show.
Joy to the world, another show has come.
Well, I mean, it really wasn't my idea. I had a lot of emails asking me, and a lot of my friends want me to do another one. So, going back to my background of music, the Musical Mouse Podcast. It's not going to be that long. It might be about 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. Nothing like my show this week for Disney News Weekly, which is 37 minutes, which was mostly dead air because I had bad editing. But wasn't bad.
It wasn't a lot of dead air.
But yeah, there you go.
And thanks for joining me as always on the show, Nick.
Yeah.
And we'll see ya. Hello and welcome to the Everything Disney Resorts Podcast. I am your host Luke Manning, and joined with me today from the Mouse Times Podcast, we have John Crigliano.
Thank you, Luke. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Well, on the show today we're going to break off from the Christmas spirit a little bit and talk a little bit about John's experiences at MouseFest 2007. So if you just want to give a little bit of a rundown of what you did and some of the high points of the trip.
Well, pretty much it started off on Thursday. You know, Thursday was the first day of the land portion of MouseFest. Obviously, the rest happened on the cruise, which, you know, I didn't do because of money-wise. But just to give an overall, it was very exhausting. Just a lot of running around, trying to get to meets and, and setting up for the Mega Mouse meet and everything like that, but got to see a lot of my podcasters. But so some of the meets that I got to do All About the Mouses, which with Brian Ripper and Jonathan Dichter. You know, since Jonathan had never been on the Rock and Roller Coaster, and that was very funny.
What happened with Jonathan after he got off?
Well, apparently. When we got off, he said he wanted a donut because you go through the, you see him, as you're passing, and he's like, You know, he's like, all I saw is a donut going by. I'm like, I wanted some donuts. But the picture, they actually got the on-ride photo, and Brian told me that he was screaming like a girl, really screaming like a girl. But so after that, it was just a lot of running around. I think that was it for that night. No, but some of the meets that really stuck out were, well, obviously that, but also didn't get to really do the adventure stuff I was trying to, but you have to realize this, all these other meets that you would like to go to, and it's like trying to cram in, you know, 30 things into, you know, a whole day, and you're running around, running to different parks and whatnot, and you just get wore out, you know? But one of the highlights, of course, of MouseFest is the Mega Mouse meet. And the 2 years prior, I had always just been a spectator. And this year, I finally got to be behind the tables with Adam. And boy, was that an adventure all in itself. You want to talk about really busting butt, you know, trying to come in early, setting up, getting everything ready. And then, of course, breaking it all down after it's all over. You know, just getting to see friends again was the best part.
Getting to see friends for the first time will be the good part for me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I doubt I'll be able to make it down to MouseFest for years.
Well, definitely start planning now because, obviously, there's a lot to do. There's certainly a lot to do.
You got to consider, though, that I have school during the time that MouseFest
is
going on.
Finals and whatnot.
So it's a hard time to get down there.
Yes.
So what else did you do?
Well, I did eat dinner or lunch on Monday with Brian Ripper and Mike Demopoulos from Mouse Station, and got to eat the Yak and Yeti for the first time, and that was great. Just, you know, we chatted for a bit, and, you know, obviously I had the tempura shrimp, and that was very, the food there was very, very good, and I was thoroughly impressed with it.
Now, you had your own meat, the American Adventure meat. I heard it didn't go out that well.
about 3 hours after the Mega Mouse meet, and I think that's kind of what hindered it. Adam and I did have a meet over by the American Adventure, and you know, we didn't have a humongous crowd. I think we had maybe about 4 or 5 people, which I'm still not, you know, disappointed about, because at least the meet was a little bit more intimate, and I got to do a little history walk and you know, and talk about the building and the attraction. So I was actually good with that.
Mm. And then you went to the DisneyWorldTrivia.com family reunion and had an interesting phone conversation.
Oh yes. First off, it's always great to watch Mark Goldhaber from Mouse Planet to conduct the Illumination show. He really gets into it. It's like I'm watching Holland's Opus over here. And then after the the holiday tag, the island that's closest to Japan catches fire from one of these fireworks. And, you know, I got on video of these flames shooting out of this island, and you see the boat coming up to it, and two people come onto the island with buckets, just buckets, and they're throwing, you know, water onto this thing, and luckily they finally got it out. I wish I had been on the other side to see where this was burning, because apparently it's not all flat, so of course it was down a little bit, so really you just saw the flames coming out. So that was that was certainly very, very interesting. I'm so glad I went to that.
And like I said, you had a interesting conversation with me and Tom Corliss during the meet. Hey, look who's not here. Luke Manning, Tom Corliss.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had you guys on the phone listening to the Illuminations, and pretty much I just kept my phone on the entire time. So you guys listened to the Illuminations show all the way.
Which Tom hates, by the way.
Tom hates.
For some absurd reason.
So I have people saying, like, why are you on the phone? And I'm like, no, I'm just having people just listen in. So I'm hearing you guys chat along on what the heck's going on over there and what Tom had to say, so
And then you started singing along with We Go On. That was so funny.
Oh yeah, so too bad you guys weren't recording.
Oh no, I was.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
Let's go to the audio tape.
Yeah, cut.
I think I also got on video because I was video, so you actually hear myself saying that as well.
Did you just do it to annoy the heck out of us, or was it sort of group collaboration there?
Well, it was group over there, but it was also to bug the heck out of Tom.
Yeah. Now, did you go to the Beaches and Cream meet with Brian Ripper?
Yes, I did.
And how much did you eat? How much ice cream?
I actually had one bowl of ice cream, but only because I couldn't stay, because I had to hurry up to get over to the Mega Mouse meet to set up, and apparently I was a little bit late because they were taking some group photos and I missed one of them, and I was kind of bummed out. But I did get in big group photos, so I'm happy about that. But since I did have one, but when I left, they had killed one of those kitchen sinks. And to give you an idea how much ice cream there was, they had ordered 5 kitchen sinks and 2 No Way Jose's.
Wow.
And apparently all of them were killed.
How much did that cost?
I think it came out to about $176.
Wow. They sure do love their listeners.
Oh, absolutely. That's for sure.
Now, any final words about any meets or the overall experience of MouseFest you'd like to share?
Well, pretty much start, you know, planning early. I would say start playing around maybe around August or September when they start allowing registrations, and just register early. you know, because this year, if you wanted to register early, it was $15, but those $15 went to, you know, like lanyards and the pins and getting your book early and everything like that. And plus, it gets you, it got everybody an hour early into the Mega Mouse Meet. So, because normally the Mega Mouse Meet for regular people, for the public, is from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, where the registered people get from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and plus you get food and drinks. No,
wow.
Not food and drinks, but just drinks. You know, you get some refreshments. So, definitely, you know, if you want to spend more time with us over at the Mega Mouse Meet, definitely plan that way. And plus, $15 goes a long way.
Mm.
Well, I think that's going to be about it for our discussion on MouseFest, seeing as we're combining two shows into one, basically, because of lost time this past week, a few technical difficulties and stuff. But, John, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely, and if your listeners have any questions, you know, obviously email Luke, and I'll try and come back on the show and answer them.
Yeah, that would be luke@disneyresortskingdom.com, and if you don't want to go through me, you can go through John. If I'm not mistaken, it's podcast@mousetimes.com.
Yes, sir.
So, John, once again, thanks for joining me, and that's it for the show.
Thank you, Luke, and it's been a great pleasure.
Well, folks, I guess that about does it for our show. Now bundle up, stay warm,
and come back and see us real soon.
Happy holidays, y'all.